The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
NAFTA podcast, we are back. It is match week 3 just ended. It is episode 4 of the new season, episode like 180 something of the entire podcast. We got Dylan, we got Michael, Nick still working the summer hours right now, so he'll be in hopefully next week, maybe week after. Crazy week, a week of ups and downs, a week that I'm sure we would have had a Nick rant, thought we were going to have a Michael rant, but first and foremost, Dylan, how was your weekend? How's it going?
I relived the glory days. had a concert on Friday. Actually, real good concert. I don't know. The opener, by the way, you ever hear of Whiskey Myers before?
No.
Apparently, their genre is Texas grunge, which I didn't know was a thing. It's pretty good.
Gonna like it.
Listen to it on the whole ride home, and I'm kind of into Texas grunge. It's pretty good.
If you had to describe it, what is it?
It's southern, like, folky country music, okay. But they dress and look like they should be in a grunge band from Seattle.
So flannel.
Yes, and long hair.
Flannel, long hair.
The guitarist was ripped and ripped in terms of both ways of like shredding the guitar and also just shredded.
Yeah, okay. All right, so from what I'm understanding, country music, but they're probably dressing too warm for where they play at in Texas type shit. They ended up in Jersey. How'd that happen? Like, any clue?
They were opening for Eric Church, so I don't think they turned it down.
All right, good deal.
3.1 million listeners on Spotify, making it come up. But we did that, and then basically beach weekend, and somehow made it out till 2 a.m., actually.
Wow.
Going to everyone's favorite bar of Leggett's, and then we made it to a bar I haven't been to in about 7 years. That used to be, like, where we used to throw down back in our summer rental days. 7 people in the bar. I think it might be going under. But it was,
Which one was it?
The Osprey.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I haven't stepped foot in that place in a very long time, and it was dead, but I got a beer really quickly, so that was cool. And then I got late night pizza, and I walked 20 minutes home to my parents' place.
Love it. So great
weekend.
Yeah, all around. Michael, how was yours? Studying.
Yes, I'm not even kidding. There's nothing for me to add. That's all I've been doing is in this house, in this room, studying for my boards.
Well, perfect. Alexis and I did a beach weekend as well. We ended up going to this place called Breezy Point, which apparently is like a private co-op community that they have a guard at the gate to get in. And we drove up and we were like, hey, we're trying to go to this bar in here. And the woman was like, no, you're not. Like, are you trying to go see the beach volleyball tournament? Because I'll let you in then. And I was like, yeah, for sure. So we did a beach weekend. Not my favorite thing in the world, as a lot of listeners probably know. But, you know, sucked it up. Breezy Point's pretty sick, though. I mean, we ended up watching the beach volleyball tournament, getting a couple drinks. They're pretty rowdy. I think it's like their end of summer bash there. So, cool that I got to go there, but not a beach guy. The Tuckers, big beach people. Michael, are you a beach person?
I am so scared of the ocean. So no. The beach is fine.
The waves were awesome this weekend.
Dude, they're huge.
Yeah, it was great.
If I'm going knees down, I'm no problem. Not a fear in the world.
Yeah.
Once it hits my, like, hip, lower to middle thigh.
Oh, damn.
I'm out.
Jeez. So you don't float? I'm like an otter. I'm just floating out there for like 25 minutes. It's great.
No, fuck that. I will be in a pool for 4 hours. I will be nowhere near the ocean.
Love a pool.
Call me Vinny Chase because I'm Aquaman there.
Just visualizing. Just
what a
visualizing
great reference.
just visualizing Dylan as an otter was one of the funniest things I've done in a while. All right, so before we get into Arsenal flatlining, Dylan, big three-point weekend, and Michael, just comeback elation. A few things we want to go over. First things first, like and subscribe to podcasts. Apparently I need to start doing this. It's what everyone else does. Check us out on YouTube, too. There's a visual aspect to this. And if you're watching, you'd see me in the new... Every year we do a classic football shirts order. I'm in a Watford... I don't know what you'd call this, because it's a zipper at the neck. And it is pretty comfortable.
It's like the trainer.
Yeah, it's a trainer top. It's a training top. It's like a quarter zip, but not. So all of our stuff's in. Dylan, I'll have to give it to you Wednesday when we meet for dinner.
Can we do a reveal?
Oh, yeah. Do you want to do that?
I mean, I don't know what I'm getting. I don't know if Michael does.
Yeah, well, Michael knows what you're getting. Michael doesn't. Yeah. Michael probably knows what he's getting, too, though. While I do that, I'll have you guys riff. This Watford top is purple. Does anyone look good in purple? I look terrible with this.
Barney.
Barney is purple. He has no choice.
The Ninja Turtles.
You can see every curvature of my body in this thing. It's terrible.
Can I see?
No.
Okay.
It's something where I think it needs to be lavender and you're okay, but when it is a dark purple, it can be tough.
All right, I think it looks pretty good. I mean, you got to be doing something in it. You got to be playing or running or something. Yeah.
So for those of you listening just as a podcast, I apologize because none of this is going to make sense to you. You got to jump on YouTube to see the visuals. Dylan, let's start with you. We got you a Wolves jacket.
Oh.
It's nice. It's a full jacket. It's a training jacket. It's pretty sick.
That looks warm. That'll be good for the March trip.
So Nick said this looks like a good walking around Hoboken jacket for fall, early spring, probably not winter. I wouldn't assume so. So we got that one. Nick, which I feel bad that he's getting this reveal this way, but one, there is a coaching quarter zip Manchester United that we got going on here, Adidas. It has RT on it. I'm not sure which coach that is. Maybe he does. Maybe he knows, but RT is the coach. Looks pretty sick. And then the one thing that I actually thought Nick would be even more excited about is we usually give each other one really nice thing and then a bunch of little goofy
trinkets.
Trinkets. That's a great word for it. Nick, we got you a U.S. World Cup mug for your coffee in the morning. It's from the 1994 World Cup. It looks pretty cool. I figured he'd like that because he's star-spangled American. I have the Watford top. I also have... Do I need to go get it? It's a Manchester United coat and some goalie shorts. They're pretty cool.
Manchester City coat, right?
Manchester City coat. Jesus Christ. Yeah. I almost lost it there. Michael's the big winner. Did you win seven different things last year?
Yeah, we got to unthrone him this year.
Yeah.
So the nice thing that Michael got is outside of being a Liverpool fan, he's also a Batiste fan because I'm a Sevilla fan. So this is a quarter zip Batiste quarter zip right here, right?
I almost have that whole season's line of training stuff from Batiste.
It's a very easy gift setup for Michael come Christmas. And then the trinkets start here. So we got him a Hertha Berlin hat, which is pretty cool. Definitely cannot run in this because it looks like it's wool. Also a Robbie Fowler t-shirt in here. There is a Liverpool tote bag.
Ooh.
And then the thing that I got to hit them up about to make sure they resend it because it wasn't in the package is a poster that has all the Liverpool home jerseys on it throughout the years. Pretty cool.
Wow.
And then the thing that I immediately put into the cart when we were picking for him is a Phil Coutinho big head type situation here. Little figurine Phil Coutinho in a Barcelona jersey, unfortunately. Sorry. But Michael's guy nonetheless. So, pretty good haul. Hopefully Nick jumps on YouTube, and actually, hopefully Nick knows how to use YouTube first and foremost. And then
I can't wait to put the Hertha Berlin hat with my Rangers wool hat, yep, and my Fiorentina hat that fits literally on just the top of my head, yeah, and nowhere else down.
The classic football shirt setup, not a perfect science, as we've come to realize that it doesn't go as
according
to plan.
They're great people.
Yeah, no free ads, but they're great people. All right, we want to rerun a segment that we did last episode. It's the Dudes of the Week. Michael started it last week, and then we named it Dudes of the Week afterwards. It's just three people had an incredible week. We're not trying to say it's our Mount Rushmore type situation, but this is quite literally like a Mount Rushmore type situation. And since I know you two have to riff it a little bit,
I got it.
I'm gonna.
No, I got it.
All right, you guys got yours. All right, cool. But I'll lead us off because I think that's what a good person does. My first dude of the week is Sheffield United's goalie Wesley Fotheringham, because I had to sit there and watch this dude make 7 saves. He did concede 2 goals, but neither one of them were his fault. 7 saves. He had 65% accurate passes. I mean, he stood on his head, ended up with 4 fantasy points, even though he gave up 2 goals. So shout out to him. He's 32. So probably towards the tail end of his career, he's not going to get dude of the week that often. So let's get him early, you know. Wesley Fotheringham of Sheffield United fame, although they lost 2-1 to Man City, which we'll get to in a second. Michael?
32 as a goalie is not near the end of the career, by the way.
True. Very true. Great point.
Am I going, like, not the top guy, not the second guy? Am I going 3-1 here?
You should do whatever you want. Whatever.
Yeah, I think it's strategic, so you don't want other people. Like, yeah, to be honest, I feel like I'm going to let you keep probably when you live with people. I think 2 Wolves people should be chosen. I'm going to let one of you guys have them, and
well,
I'll probably take one.
I'm not letting you guys pick Darwin Nunez, so.
Yeah, so you should take him. Yeah.
All right, so I'm doing Darwin Nunez was my number one, but that's my first dude of the week for reasons that we will obviously get to.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Dylan, your first dude of the week?
I'm purposely saving Wolves people for later to force you guys to have to choose one. I'll be going with James Maddison. I think he's been playing brilliantly, and he is actually the new face of Tottenham at this point. So,
yeah,
doing everything that Richarlison thought he could be doing.
I don't disagree. I'm going to listen to your strategery here with the Wolves guys, because I wanted to grab one.
You can grab one. I'll do the other one.
I don't know if it's the same one, because I'm keeping a theme here. Jose Sa. Yeah. I'm grabbing him. Shutout against Everton. 3 big points this early in the year. Great game by him. Sa with the second dude of the week for me, for sure.
All right. I don't think you guys are going to have this one. It was between 2 guys from the same team, but I'm going to go with Jared Bowen.
Good choice.
The second goal that he scored, he brought the cross down, side-footed in the back of the net, was just incredibly unbelievable. That smash-and-grab style West Ham had against Brighton. Broke their streak of losing or drawing to them. Hadn't beat them in a long time. It was unbelievable. He's going to be a big player for them this year.
Actually, haven't beaten them since Brighton was back in the Premier League ever.
Yeah, well, I know it's like since like 16 or something.
Yeah.
So.
But, yeah. Dylan, number 2.
I don't think I need to go into this in much detail, but Sasha Kalajdzic. I tried to watch a how to pronounce his name video before this, and I still think I butchered it. But Sasha's a legend. Who knew? Put in a 6'9", 6'10 guy in, and you can just do crosses and put it in the net.
I love the strategy. I know, going back to our Wolves pod, which actually did pretty good numbies compared to the other previews we did, you and Alex were both pretty pumped about that guy. First week we're doing this, I'm already breaking the rules, but it's for a good reason. I'm picking the entire Spanish women's team. Dudettes of the week. Michael with the eye roll. Okay, perfect.
I thought it would be Nick, but for this one, no. I will give it to you.
The entire Spanish women's team, literally, going through the World Cup, if you read anything about it, was pretty much hell for them. They are totally mismanaged. And then this fucking Rubiales guy just absolutely fucking sucks. Just the worst type of person. So shout out to them. And then they all boycotted yesterday or the day before that and said they're not going to play. And then a couple of Spanish men actually came out and said they're never going to play for the Federation if he is not fired. So I think that's a really great call by me. My three. Michael, who's your third?
My third, this was a... Obviously, I had James Maddison as well, but I will switch to Polina of Fulham. First game back, absolute unit in the center of the pitch, 10 men down, scores the tying goal to get the point against Arsenal. So, big time.
I'm going to see if I can keep doing this week in and week out. I will be taking a Chelsea player, Raheem Sterling. Honestly, though, he's also looking like he's the Raheem Sterling of City and is playing very, very well right now, attacking, I think, every which way, which is something that Chelsea just hasn't had before. Or very recently, true. Or tried to have, and they haven't had it.
Very true. I'm going to take a shot at them here in a second. But the one thing I do want to say is, Michael, if you recall us sitting in the stands in Philly laughing at Chelsea fans' faces for how horny they were for Malo Gusto, and the guy had two assists this weekend, I guess we had to eat some crow, right?
I mean, let me just say, they're playing Luton Town.
So, which brings me to my next point, which we're going to dive into these games. Chelsea start the week off with 3 points, winning 3-0 against Luton Town. Sterling with a brace in the 17th and 68th. Nicholas Jackson in the 75th, like we said, Gusto with both assists on the Sterling goal. The one thing I will say is Chelsea fans still obnoxious online. They beat the worst team in the Prem, and you think that they are going to qualify for Champions League off of that. Bournemouth 0, Tottenham 2, James Maddison, like Dylan just mentioned, one of his dudes of the week, in the 17th minute, Kulusevski in the 63rd. Tottenham look tough against a Bournemouth team who still don't have Tyler Adams, which will make their season totally turn around. But, you know, I think they're pretty tough this season. Brentford and Palace share points. Shade in the 18th minute for Brentford. Anderson ties it up in the 76th for Palace. They have tied, I think it's like the past six matchups. So we need to start taking note of that when we do our predictions. Manchester United 3, Nottingham Forest 2. We really, really tried to get Nick on this pod. We waited to the last minute to be able to do this pod. We wanted to get his thoughts here. Awoniyi and Boley score in the second and fourth minute, respectively, for Forest. Eriksen gets one back before the half in the 17th minute. And then Casemiro gets one in the 52nd. Fernandez with the winner on a pen in the 76th. Tale of two halves, quite literally, for United, which I'm sure we'll get into here in a second. Brighton and Hove Albion 1, West Ham 3, Ward-Prowse in the 19th, Bowen in the 58th, Mikel Antonio in the 63rd, and Pascal Gross with a goal for Brighton in the 81st, which became kind of just a moot point. Big win for West Ham. I'm sure we'll talk about that one too. And then Burnley, Aston Villa, Burnley 1, Villa 3. A Matty Cash brace in the 8th and 20th, and then a Foster goal for Burnley in the 47th, had it 2-1. Villa gets the deciding, or the goal to kind of put Burnley away in the 61st by Diaby. 3-1 win there. And then the last game before we get into the big three after that, Sheffield United 1, Man City 2. Haaland in the 63rd opened the scoring. A 85th goal by Boggle. Is that his name? Boggle? For real?
Like the game?
I believe so. In the 85th minute, tied it up. I was about to kill Kyle Walker in that moment. Rodri to the rescue, as always, in the 88th. Get Man City all 3 points. Just a lesson to all the kids out there. Do not make bold predictions about your team a week before you have to do another podcast, because they never come to fruition. City give up a goal in the first match since I made the claim. Dylan.
I forgot about that.
Let's cross that one off the list.
Yeah. Dylan, let's start with you. Any thoughts about the games that we're deeming less significant, I guess, this week.
I guess we shouldn't take stock in teams, or we should pump the brakes on teams that have already beaten bad teams but look good beating bad teams.
Yeah.
I hope you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't disagree. I actually think Chelsea's one of them, if I'm being honest. Is that who you're talking about?
No, I was talking about Brighton, but you're also right.
Yeah. I know. I Michael, you and I were texting about this game, and you had some thoughts about this game. Obviously, Brighton dominated, and it was just three really great possessions by West Ham that got them three goals.
Yeah, what's the passing stat? They had like 141 accurate passes in the entire game. Their second and third goals were, I think, three passes apiece. The third one was from the goalie. And I think it was I think it was literally like Brighton kind of went into that game and were like, we're going to just absolutely pump them until we score, and then we score again and we score again. And they just weren't scoring. And Areola had a great game, obviously. But West Ham got that early goal, and then they could just sit back, and it just played right into their hands. Like I said, Bowen and also Antonio could have been another dude of the week, but his hold-up play was great. They did exactly what they had to do to win in the way that they did. And they were lethal. They were clinical. What are you going
to
do?
To your point, 141 accurate passes by West Ham, 668 by Burton. just a classic 3-1 win by West Ham.
But six big chances by West Ham.
Yeah. Yep.
And two for Brighton. So, yeah.
Absolutely. I know he's not on. What were Nick's thoughts this weekend about this game?
It's a good question. I didn't talk to him. I was with him on Friday night too, but I guess that game happened afterwards. I think honestly, if I am him or put myself into a United like fan shoes, as much as that first 4 minutes had to suck, the fact that they came back at least shows something of they still have some injury issues that they need to work in the whole defensive side of things, but like the fact that they were able to come back and get the three goals they need, I think says a lot about their team, even though I still think they kind of have, they're not who we thought they were in terms of like where they finished last year type of thing. And Nottingham Forest is probably who we thought they were as well at this point. Like, they get their goals, but then they still, I don't know, their games are drunk all the time.
Yeah.
Away from home.
Yes, fair. Away from home.
I think that they're going to be a... They were a tough prediction for me this coming weekend against Chelsea. I'm not going to lie. Like, I was sitting there and I was like, this could be a draw pretty easily. The one thing I'll say, and I would love to get Nick's thoughts, and hopefully he's listening to this and starts shaking his head, is I think at the end of last year, he probably thought, nice, I don't ever have to see Tony again. And Tony's back. Like, their strikers just situation just sucks. I know they thought they were going to get someone. Is that Hoyland guy going to play?
He's hurt. Came in hurt.
So
I think he's coming back from that.
I think once they get him is where if you don't see different results on how they're attacking, I would be worried. But until like he actually gets in.
Rashford's just so much better not in the center. Like he needs to be on that side.
You think he'd like, you know, try and rise to the occasion just a little bit?
Yeah. Who knows? Are we impressed by Tottenham?
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I'm willing to go full yes because they literally played with 10 men.
Yeah, that's actually that's a good point as well. I like Ange for sure.
He's funny.
Yep.
Very funny. Listen, sense very, of humor. Very Aussie.
very Aussie.
Yeah, listen. Madison I think I was listening to, like, Rebecca Lowe or whatever, like, The Lowdown or something, and she had talked about James Madison, and she'd said, like, it's like he's played at Tottenham his whole life. Like, he's been there for, like, 4 or 5 years, which is not his whole life, I know. But it is. Like, he looks like he fits that perfectly. They just need somebody other than Richarlison up top. Truly. Yeah. That's what it is.
He had about 7 different, like, Richarlison moments of it. I mean, honestly, Richarlison should come play for the Wolves because he fits exactly what we do best, is get near a goal and then you hit a post or just miss wide and be shocked that you can't believe it happened.
Yeah, I think, Michael, to your point when you're saying, like, James Madison, I know he always played at Leicester, but if you had to picture him in a Tottenham jersey, like, it just made sense.
It's so easy.
Same thing with Richie, with Wolves. I think that's a great call. Like, if you just get him in some of that, I know you guys call it gold, right? But it's definitely orange to me. You get him in that jersey, I think it just makes a ton of sense.
Did you guys see his tattoo?
Got another one?
His new tattoo. I'm pretty sure it's brand new on his fucking neck. I don't know what it is. I swear to, it might have been there for a minute and I just wasn't paying attention. But I saw it this week and I was like, what the fuck is that? It made me laugh. He was also just, like, dicking around and falling over the ball. It's kind of funny. But real quick, before you move on to another game, I just want to say, Dylan, I 100% agree with you on the... I know I'm, like, backtracking a little bit. The United thing coming back from down 2-0 very early on in the game. One, why are you down 2-0 against Nottingham Forest at home? And two, in my opinion, you got bailed out by a red card and bailed out by a penalty. Because... I think the red card, fine, I guess. If we're just going to call red cards a lot this year, which we already have seen, like, throughout the first 3 weeks.
Stat of the week real quick. 9 red cards in the first 3 weeks, only 30 last year in total.
That's crazy. But I think the penalty was incredibly soft.
Yeah.
So, just, I mean, not saying they wouldn't have won anyway, but, you know, the manner in which they did it, I'm not... as, like, wow, like, a lot of grit for United coming back from that.
Yeah. I wish Nick was here to defend himself, essentially. Look.
I think he knows. I think Nick is aware.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dylan.
I was going to say, you still got to win the game. Like, even if you get your calls or whatnot, like, you still got to put the ball in the back of the net.
Yeah.
Holland didn't.
Listen. Relax. He did later. Chelsea, I think... I'm not impressed. 3-0. I like Raz. I think it was a stupid idea for him to leave last year, but I don't know where else he would have went. But 3-0 to Luton Town, I'm not impressed. They got to win that game. It's a game they're supposed to win. Agreed?
Yeah. Yep. I think I said last week, if they didn't win that game, it was like pandemonium.
I said, don't show up to the internet.
Yeah.
Chelsea fans. Brentford Palace 1-1 is one of those games where it's like, obviously, afterwards, it's like, obviously, why didn't we pick this? I think there's going to be games like this that Brentford do this because they don't have Tony. But there's also going to be games like they've had the past 2 weeks where if Wissa and Mbeumo can just score, they're going to win.
I didn't get to watch this. They had 60% possession. Brentford did. I'm gonna look here. I think Fulham is just not very good. They had 45% in the Fulham game, and I'm assuming they had even less in the Tottenham game. 30. I think they need to not play against teams who are going to sit back against them.
Yeah,
I think them on the road against mid-table teams is going to be dangerous because I think they defend well, and I think those teams will press them a little bit more and try to get a goal because they're at home. When they go to Crystal Palace when those mid-table teams come to their place and play, I think they're going to kind of bunker down, and I don't think their offense is going to be as productive.
Yeah, I can totally see that. I mean, this game only had 2 big chances, 1 for each team. So not a lot of offense going on. Any thoughts on Aston Villa 3-1 against Burnley? Matty Cash, brace.
I'd be scared if I had to play Villa anytime soon.
Like next game?
Yeah.
Without Virgil van Dijk. It is at home, though.
I know. I think it's also something where it's that like recency bias of because of what happened in Newcastle in week one, I think everyone of all the hype that Villa had calmed down, where Newcastle and Brighton's hype got brought up for kind of where they're playing. And because of that, I think it put Villa in a position that they've been in for the past probably, what, year? Of everyone kind of was like, oh yeah, they're Villa, they're mid-table, but like, we'll see. And then they're still just steamrolling the teams that they're supposed to, and they'll probably still be competitive. I'm not saying they're going to beat Liverpool, but like, they're going to be competitive in that format.
It's going to be a tough game, I think.
I agree.
They got Hibernian midweek. They're already up 5-0 in that, so no starter will play.
The kids will play.
Yeah, and it's at home. But I agree. I think that, like I said, and I actually think, wasn't it Ferguson who said that he was impressed with Newcastle, but he was also impressed with Villa in that first week because of how they played? I think the 5-1 was like an anomaly.
Yeah, I agree.
And then they smashed Everton 4-0, 5-0 against Hibernian, beat Burnley away 3-1. What is that, 12-1 the last three games. I think they're rolling right now. I don't think anybody would want to play them regardless.
Yeah, totally agree. Go ahead.
Sorry, just one other thing is, I also think on the Burnley side of the ball, it's probably too early to tell, but I think it is kind of showing that how they played last year, when they're playing these teams that are confident and know that they should beat them and are going on the front foot at them, they are a shell of the team that we saw in the championship.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. That Aston Villa game, like, Burnley had, I think, 8 to 10% more possession and way more passes were holding onto the ball. And, like, I it'll be interesting to see Burnley play Everton. It'll be interesting, obviously, the game with you, Dylan Wolves, will be interesting.
Yeah.
I do think they're probably better than Luton. They're probably better than Sheffield United. But we'll have to take a look. Speaking of Sheffield United, I thought we weren't going to get the City wasn't going to get 3 points, so I made some notes. And for the three people that care about what I think about City on this podcast, here you go. I love them. Julian Alvarez cannot be our dead ball free kick corner taker. It was just too bad. How you beat Holland? You put three central defenders on him and you punch him in the face every time the ball gets near him, so that he literally can't play. He is not good enough with his back to goal yet, and I don't know if that'll ever happen, but if we were able to run people off of him much better in this game, it would have been a different story. And then the announcers were referring to Sheffield United as a stubborn unit, and I kind of just like that phrase. When I'm struggling to lose weight for this marathon, I'm just going to call myself a stubborn unit. I like it.
Should have called them the Magic School Bus, because they were just parked the entire time.
Yeah. It was pretty frustrating to watch, trust me. Like, so, eight people behind the ball.
So, the thing I'll say about the Holland thing, which I told you, but I'll say it for Dylan and for everybody else now, is there are times where he is, like, for sure getting fouled, but he is also fouling, like, when he is with those defenders. Now, the one where the guy literally just, like, put his arms around him, didn't look at the ball at all, you know, did Holland fall over with the guy on his, like, holding him, like, hugging him? Maybe, but the guy shouldn't be hugging him.
Yeah.
Like, that's not defending. Like, I don't care. But the amount of times I see Holland with the opposing team's shirt in his hand in those moments, it's like, okay, if we call a foul, and it's a penalty, like, do we also have to call a foul on him? It has to be, like, egregious because of how he acts in the box as well.
For sure. I think the theme of the entire season with refereeing is we don't know. There's no consistency. We just don't know. So it's tough.
I mean, I can tell you if you hold on to if you just hold on to the ball to make a throw in for longer than 5 seconds, they'll give you a yellow card.
Yeah, it's so crazy, like, the little shit that is, like, an immediate card now.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, if you just totally spear and target a striker at the end of a game, if they play for Wolves especially, no card. No penalty whatsoever. We'll keep that in mind. The big three games that happened this week that we wanted to talk a little bit longer on. Arsenal 2, Fulham 2, Pereira with a first-minute goal gave Fulham the lead. Arsenal scrapped back. Saka scored a pen in the 70th, and then just 2 minutes later, Nketiah scored to go up 2-1 for Arsenal. But even, I believe, man, I did not have the time frame in front of me. Was it down a man, Fulham? Tied it up with Polina in the 87th minute. Dude, I know we've been down on them. Is this just like a flash in the pan? Or did Fulham show us something here?
Polina. Oh, for Fulham?
Well, let Dylan go, because I think Dylan's been vocal about a few of the players before, too.
So, I think, first of all, I didn't know Polina was coming back this week. So, I think I have said that he is the glue that Fulham needs to at least be somewhat competitive and not be what I've been saying, where they could be getting relegated. Having said that, I think this week there was a lot of drunk results, and I think this is just one of them. I think this says more about where I think Arsenal might actually finish up this year than it does about Fulham, in my opinion. But I don't know. They still don't have, like, to me, the biggest problem with Fulham is they don't have someone who can score from a striker position still, even though Adama is gonna, you know, just keep that. I don't know. I'm excited for Fulham fans to get the Adama experience. I think it's really, this team will go as Polina goes, was, I guess, my final answer.
Yeah. Michael, it sounds like you were thinking more Arsenal in your thought process for this one.
Well, first off, I mean, if I'm going to keep true to myself here and true to what I've talked about the first 2 weeks, the first yellow card on Calvin Bassey is just not a yellow card. And then the second one is, and he knew it immediately when it happened. He literally goes, I'm fucking sent off for sure. But it's just, it's like, we talk about the red cards and how you said 9 in the first 3 weeks, 30 all last year. The yellow cards too, though, because like it completely changes a game. It changes how people defend, especially defenders. It changes how attackers, you know, move and you know, get physical and stuff like that. And it seems like if we're just giving them out across the board, across the league, then fine. But like, there's so much inconsistency with like the yellow cards in general, which again we'll get to in another game. I don't think he should have been sent off just based on that first yellow card, but I think this is a flash for Fulham in like a perfect storm. I think the first goal, Pereira tried to chip him. If he was truly going near post because of like how Ramsdale was going back and how his weight was distributed, that's an incredible goal. I don't think he was trying to do that. I think he was trying to chip it and scuffed it. But they bunkered down. Polina was great, like we said. I don't know, man. I think this is like a big conversation about what the fuck Arteta is doing with Arsenal. Why is Thomas Partey at right back? Why did you just get rid of Kieran Tierney? Why? A bunch of things. Why? Why'd you buy? I mean, I guess Rye wasn't that much money. But why is Kai Havertz still playing? Like, there's a ton of things you could talk about. Yeah. I think they don't have any idea what they're doing right now.
Yeah. Dylan, I thought you were gonna go, so I was gonna give you.
I've been talking a lot. I was gonna let you have the runway.
No, you're good. You're good.
Wow, you guys are so nice.
I know. We're a gracious group. The one last thing I wanted to ask, because I agree with both of you. I do think it's a bit of a flash in the pan for Fulham. I agree, Dylan, you've been saying it, and I'll give you the credit. Like, Polina being back is key for them. But the story up front is a story that you've seen personally for the past 4 years. So, like, you know that all too well. And then Arsenal is going to fall back a little bit this season. I think we've all said that. Like, they're not going to end up I think they're going to end up third. Like, I just don't think that they're going to get second and definitely not first. My last question, Ramsdale or Raya? Michael, who you got?
I'm still – okay, I think Raya is for that system. If you didn't have a goalkeeper and you brought both of them in at the same exact time, I think you go Raya.
Yeah.
Ramsdale's already been there. He hasn't fucked up, You know, I don't think you take it away from him. But I think he will fuck up. I think he's not as good distributor. And then he makes mistakes as a shot stopper as well.
Dylan, Ramsdell or Raya?
I think Ramsdell deserves it because he's been there, to Michael's point. But I think if you have another game like we just saw, I think Arteta's going to put Raya in so he can play fully to the system that he wants.
I think Arteta wants to put Raya in, and he's waiting for...
A reason. He wants the reason to be able to do it.
He showed up at the guy's signing. Like personally, was just like... It was... And I know a lot of Arsenal fans are already asking for it. Dylan, you said you were talking a lot this episode. You're going to talk even more here, man. Everton 0, Wolves 1. I need to just snip the Wolves podcast we did with Alex and have him put the name of the guy who scored here because it sounded like he knew exactly what he was doing, and I do not. So I'm going to say Kalajic. Kalajic?
It's Kalajic. Yeah, Kalajic.
Kalajic. Love it. The big man in the 87th minute gives Wolves, in all honesty, I know it's week three, but gives Wolves a pivotal 3 points.
I love you just call him the big man. The name. You're just like, he's just the big man.
The big man. Don't say 6'9", 6'10". What else do you want
to
say?
He might be 6'7", but I'm going to say 6'10".
Hey. This is huge. This is a huge game. A, I got to hear what it was like for you watching it. Do you actually think this was as important as we're making it seem? And are you and Hank still friends?
This was the most important week three game I've ever watched. I'm just saying. I don't know if you both actually watched the game or not. I think I said this to you guys. It was a drunk MLS game for a hot second, in terms of the fact that there was, I don't know how to describe it, like, neither team could figure out how to actually control the game and control possession. It was just one team kind of moving up the field and then turning it over and then just going the other way and then going nowhere near the net. And then, like, I don't know. Ultimately, I have the good and the bad is we put the ball in the net again, like, I think I'm going to start doing a Fabio Silva fake goals counter. We're at 2 so far for the year, in terms of him just being like, he's just right there and he keeps being offsides, has a great finish. And then he gets one-on-one with the goaltender again and doesn't know what to do with it and kicks it right at Pickford. Like, it's, I don't know. I promise he needs to keep playing 2 to get better, but it was I don't know. It was the best win ever at this point. We look good in red. You touched on it. Sa kept us in that game. There's one where I think even Michael texted at this point when he finally saw it. He completely saved the game of, I think he made like 3 saves in a row, and then all of a sudden the ball was like going in the net, and at the last second just tapped it right over the crossbar. Like, I don't know. That was just some ridiculous athleticism there. And then it's crazy that we have all these wingers that love to cross the ball, and we've never had someone who's like a pure striker who can actually head the ball into the net. And now we do, at least to this point. However, I'm calling him by his first name. Sasha, as great as it was that we scored, and I'm happy for him, he's having a kid, all of that type of stuff, is, I don't know if you watched the next 5 minutes he was in the game. He's kind of a liability, too. He's so slow. Like, it's great for what happened, but there is a point where we could have gone on the counter and put the game away, like, and not even have to worry about it. He got the ball, like, right in midfield, could have turned and kept going or passed it wide, got caught within 2 steps and just had to turn back around because he just didn't have the speed. So, like, it's where I understand. People are going to call for it. I don't think he can start. I think his job is exactly what it is. He needs to come in and come in the 70th, 80th. Come in the 70th, 80th minute when we need a goal and go from there.
I think you even said it. He is the type of striker. You alluded to it earlier, but you said it in our preview pod. Like, he is the type of striker that, if you had Adama, was perfect for having Adama. because A, if he can hold it up in the midfield and you're just telling Adama, hey, straight line sprint and like we'll play a through ball to you, or we're crossing it in, like that is what you want, and now not really what you have anymore.
No. Well, Neto crosses it all the time, and yeah, he's kind of errant too, to be honest. But yeah, we're probably a season too late. But you know what? A goal's goal, wins a win, because in my opinion too, Everton actually dominated us in that game, which also scares me for how bad we are. Because like it sucks. Hank and I spoke today. He was on a bachelor party, so he had a pretty bad Saturday because he was already hungover, watched that game, then had to go drink for another 9 hours. But it's something where we've talked about this at length. Everton has, to me, actually not looked bad this year from an attacking standpoint. They just don't have a striker at all either. And the longer that they don't have that, I don't think they can score as well, and that's going to be their biggest issue. We'll just keep saying that.
I will mention that 4-0 and 1-0, like, I don't know how good they've looked, but there are times in this game, I even said in the chat, I was like,
forget the Aston Villa game. Against Fulham and us, I thought they looked well. So against competition, okay, they should beat to stay up.
Yeah, I do think I was watching. I didn't get to watch the entirety of the game, but the parts I watched, Everton just had nothing going forward for me. And I'm looking at the statistics, and it tells me the story that you're telling me. So maybe I got to go back and take a look again. But I might have been paying attention at the times where you guys were really surging. Michael, you've been calling for this execution for 3 years now. Is it finally the year?
So the only thing I'll say on that, which I'm going to let my final table speak for itself in that regard, but, you know, when you have somebody who can put the ball in the back of the net when given the smallest opportunity, you can get away with, like, a expected goal of, like, 1.2, because, like, you're going to get maybe two goals from that. When as much as I love stats and everything, the game is not how many expected goals did you have versus my expected goals. They don't have anyone who can score. So they can get all these opportunities, they can get all these chances and whatever, but if they don't have somebody who can put it in the back of the net, the 2.5 expected goals against Fulham doesn't mean anything until they score. And that's kind of what Dylan was saying, just they need somebody who can put it in the back of the net. That's probably Dominic Calvert-Lewin. But again, I understand he got rocked the game before against Villa. He gets injured a lot, and part of me is kind of like, I don't think he wants to even play. Like, I think when an injury comes on, he's kind of like, all right, cool, I get to chill again, like, people aren't going to blame me, and then comes back and maybe scores a goal or two, and then he gets hurt again. And I'm not saying he's, like, not actually getting hurt, but I think it's kind of like a weight off his shoulders when he does.
I mean, I think that you're opening up an interesting point, because the last thing I was going to say about this game was, if you take a look at the group of players that are injured for Everton, it is a who's who of people you forgot even played in the Premier League. You got a Seamus Coleman, Jack Harrison, I totally forgot that he just transferred over this season, he's on the bench, Dwight McNeil, DCL, as we just said, Dele is still technically under contract with them too, Iwobi, who had a great season last year, so he's definitely a huge miss for them. And then this name, I'm going to say, I know Michael is going to have some thoughts. Andre Gomes. Totally forgot that he was still rostered by Everton, and he's injured as well. It'll be a spicy relegation battle this year. I just know that for a fact.
I mean, it's going to be one spot.
Yeah.
35 points more to go.
Yeah, there you go. That's the thought process.
35 is easy.
Michael, you had a thrilling Sunday. Newcastle 1, Liverpool 2. Anthony Gordon in the 25th minute gave Newcastle the lead, but that was not the main issue that we wanted to talk about in the first half. Virgil van Dijk with a red card in the 28th minute. I can feel a VAR rant of the week coming. But despite all that, with 80 in the 80th minute, Darwin Nunez to the rescue. a goal in the 81st for the tie. But wait, there's more. 3 minutes in the stoppage time, he gets a second goal for Liverpool to give him all 3 points. Michael, I'm going to save this line early so I don't forget it. These are the two best strikes of the soccer ball, football, whatever you want to call it, that Darwin Nunez has ever had in his life.
Dude, the sound of the first one off the post into the back of the net was just fucking chef's kiss music to my ears. We can obviously get to the VAR thing, but I'm just going to give my little rundown of the game. The worst first half. Actually, I'm not even sure it's the worst first half I've ever seen from Trent, but it's up there for sure. 100%. I mean, completely at fault for the Gordon goal, like, without a doubt. The biggest moment, I think, in the game, this is going to sound really weird, but is the Alli save in, like, the 35th minute. If they go up 2-0 after that, I think the game is over. Mm-hmm. Like, straight up, I think it's over. I don't think we even score a goal. Joe Gomez was great. Joel Matip was pretty bad, even though he has, like, a pretty decent rating. He looked very shaky, in my opinion. Second half, I thought, you know, I was like, just get a goal. Once we get that goal, I'm like, fuck it, try to win this game. Jason Tindall, if you come at the king, you better not fucking miss, brother. I'm gonna tell you that right now. If you shush Klopp, you better win the game. And you haven't been beating us a whole lot lately. The Newcastle fans, never have I watched your games and seen your players fall to the ground, waste time as much as you did, and then to complain against a 10-man team that you can't put us away the entirety of the game. You deserve it. You deserve it 100%. I don't feel bad at all. And then something close to my heart, Joel Linton. I mean, you should have had at least 4 yellow cards. I mean, you're just fouling people. Like, you're just hurt. Like, we played. I got to play intramural soccer Tuesday, and there's a kid there with a Gerard jersey on, ironically, and he's just running around hurting people. Like, he's going elbows first, you know, kicking people. I told him, I was like, at least Stevie had some flair. Like, Jesus Christ. Joel Linton, same to you, brother. You're an incredible player. You don't need to just foul people the whole time, and I don't know why you didn't get carded in the first half. We can open it up to whatever discussions we want, but that was my rundown. Darwin Nunez, I love you, brother.
I'll say this. It tough schedule making for Newcastle beginning of this year. And I know when we did our preview with Steven from the True Faith Newcastle United podcast, he said if we can get some points out of the Liverpool City back-to-back, it's good. This is the thing. Michael sent me my ex account, Twitter account, has not been working, so I can't get on there. And Michael is literally, like, screen recording videos to send to me. He's, like, being my middleman or my secretary when it comes to this.
Fuck you, Alan.
Yeah. Some of the reactions by Newcastle fans, I get it because you're so close to a win. But, like, I still think, I don't know. Like, I didn't really expect them. I picked them to win, but I didn't think it was, like, set in stone. I still think they got a lot to learn. I mean, end of the year, they're going to be a tough team, I think, for sure. But losing to Liverpool down a man is not a good look, in my opinion. That's all I had, honestly.
That's why you need to be attacking all the time. Don't sit back and be happy with your 1-0 lead. Prevent defense, prevents victory. My question for so Michael true. Is...
I hold on, I love that because I... When I watch American football games and motherfuckers are just doing prevent and then they get a field goal to tie the game or a field goal to win, it is the most infuriating thing ever. Like, why the fuck are you doing that?
I mean, we're Browns fans. It's our lifeblood.
I don't even know if we've been in enough situations to go prevent.
Fair.
To be honest.
That's very fair.
But it's the same thing as if you're watching a game when, like, let's say it even happened with the Wolves, like, you score late to get a lead, And then the next 5 minutes of extra time, the other team, even if they didn't have possession the entire time, all of a sudden puts an onslaught on you because you're just so scared of getting the game to be too open, and then that goal trickles in. It happens every time. My question, though, for you, Michael, is seems to be a lot of deep-seated hatred for Newcastle right now. Like, do we have a new shitless team for you this year?
So I was talking to John about this. I think, or maybe I was talking to my friend Zach. It's a little bit of, like, the Arsenal thing, except it's not the fans particularly, like, Arsenal fans online. There's so many players on Newcastle that I love. Like, Joe Linton is one of my favorite players. Guimaraes is crazy. I love Isak a lot. I fucking hate Anthony Gordon, obviously. Like, he sucks. I like Harvey Barnes. The defense is cool. Nick Pope is fine. I hate the coaching staff. I hate Eddie Howe. I hate Tindall. I think that they are the type of person I hate the most, where they complain about something, but they do the thing they complain about all the time, which just, everyone's a hypocrite, but like that's just like ultimate hypocrite because it's just happening real time. You see the hypocrisy. I don't hate Newcastle. I hated them today, for sure, but...
Eddie Howe, your new Wilder?
No, dude.
It seemed like it today.
Yeah, jeez.
No. No, I was just pissed off.
I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with, but I think a big win for you guys. I think it galvanizes you guys a little bit, because that was another thing. That's a depressing locker room to be in if you guys lose that game.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I don't know if we're going to bring it up, but the only, and Dylan, I think you could probably disagree, because I think I've talked to John, and I'm not sure if John agrees with me 100%, or he was just trying to be like, yeah, I hear you, bro, like, cook, or whatever. If it's by the letter of the law, like, Trent should probably be off. He should probably have a red card. Okay? The throwing the ball thing is, like, so dumb to me, because it's what minute of the game was it? Like, are we really time wasting in that moment?
Yeah.
Fine, like if the law, and the law does say like if any time wasting is an automatic yellow card, fine. But like, there's so much time wasting all over that game and all over every other game that we don't give yellow cards out for. Like, you have to understand the moment of the game. Like, you're gonna give a yellow card in the first however many minutes of the game for time wasting.
Trent got his yellow card in the 6th minute.
Okay, there you go. The second foul on Gordon is probably, in my opinion, more of a yellow card than the ball throw or whatever. And I honest to God think if Klopp is telling the truth, which I, you know, maybe he is or not, I think he might just be saying this, but he said the fourth official said that it was a foul on Anthony Gordon before he threw the ball. And maybe that was a moment where they were like, okay, we're not going to give him this one. Because I thought that was more of a yellow card. But if it's just two isolated incidents, I think it's two yellows, and I think he's off.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you're good.
I was going to say, I get that. I'm more interested in like your take on Van Dijk.
So, my take on Van Dijk, I think it is absolutely a bad challenge. I think it's a poor decision that he made. He should have... He times the run. He sees Isak making the run, and he starts to run with him. If he just shepherds him, I don't think it's an issue. I don't know why he decided to try to, like, intercept the ball, get wrong side of him, and tackle through him. I think that's a bad challenge. I guess where it comes down to, what is your interpretation of through on goal and, like, a clear and obvious decision? I don't think that is a clear and obvious opportunity to score a goal. I think when I think of that rule and I think of that type of foul, I'm imagining like they play it past him. He turns around. His back is to the, like, his back is to the guy who passed the ball, and he like grabs his shoulder or something and pulls him down. That is how I guess I see that. People are saying that like, oh, he makes that touch and takes a shot. I'm not 100% on board with that, but I will say I'm fine with it if when I see that exact challenge 50 times this Premier League season, they're all red cards. Because it's going to happen every other week for sure. And the minute they start to not be red cards, I'm going to be pissed about it. Because it'll happen. That exact foul will happen, and it won't be a red card. And I will count how many times it is.
I didn't know if it was a red card either. I kind of agreed with you on that one.
I think it's a red card. Just
that's your right to believe that. entitled to your opinions.
The only reason that out of like you're describing it of a red card is, and I think it's because I just finished a legal thriller, so I've been playing both sides of the law on how to prove reasonable doubt here, is by taking him out, Virgil never gave him the opportunity to have his chance at goal. Because you could obviously argue, I think kind of made a point to it, it's like, I can see your point of he's not going to make that perfect first touch and be one-on-one with Alisson to score. However, his opportunity to have that opportunity was taken away from him based off of what Virgil did. And see, that's why I would say it's a red card.
We're getting into, like, semantics. We're getting too many degrees of freedom away from the actual incident.
We haven't met Kevin Bacon yet, so it's still in play.
Because Carragher is saying it's not a red card, and the reason he said it's not is because, and I disagree with this, he said it's not a red card because it wasn't a clear and obvious goal-scoring opportunity. And they said the exact same thing. They said, well, he tackled him before he could have it, and Carragher said, okay, so he still didn't have it, though. Like, he could have, but he didn't. And they said, okay, well, you're just going to go around kicking strikers. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's a good point. I don't see that as a clear and obvious opportunity. I think the way that the referees use the term clear and obvious or goal-scoring opportunity is that it's like obvious. Like, he's getting ready to take the shot, or he is past everybody, and we pull him down from behind. I don't even think he got a touch on the ball. I think he let it run in front of him, which is what you're supposed to do. And again, absolutely, Van Dijk, it's a bad tackle, like, for sure. I guess I have just seen way worse shit not be a red card, and it just, the way that the league is going, I guess, this year with all the red cards, maybe I should expect it. But how I've been watching it the past 4 or 5 years, when I see that, I'm like, oh, that's a yellow card on outside the box. And then I saw the red, and I was like, wow, that seems wrong to me. But
consistency going to continue to be the key word here, which I don't think we're ever going to get. But one thing that we are consistent at, predicting games. We are all over 500 through the first 3 weeks of the season. Let's dive into our predictions. Next week starts off with a Friday matchup between Luton Town. They are hosting West Ham. I have to assume that we're hammers across the board.
Yeah, West Ham.
Yeah, this is not going to be West Ham Brighton, though. I think if Luton get an early goal, this could be a little scary.
Because it's at the Fortress?
Well, just because I don't think West Ham are going to break down a team very well, but
that's very good point. First home game for Luton, though, here in the Premier League season. Sheffield United, they got the early matchup against Everton. This will also be a very interesting game. Dylan, I hope your alarm is set. I think this is one that is going to impact you. Who do you got in this one first?
Based on what I said, I kind of believe in Everton, but I don't know if DCL's back, so I'm going to take what's best for the Wolves and take a tie.
I am also riding that, and that will be a little... I'm alluding to something later with that tie. Michael?
I literally am looking at me picking a tie, and I kind of don't want to, but I'm going to stick with the tie.
Were draws around?
Yeah.
Interesting. We'll have to see what Nick picks later in the week. Brentford hosting Bournemouth. Michael, who you got?
I this is actually something I wanted to bring up. I think Bournemouth, have a point Mm-hmm. They tied West Ham first week. Mm-hmm. I think they've had a tough. They had us. They had Spurs. West Ham's actually seems like pretty decent right now. I think they have a chance to do something here too, especially if Brentford play like they do against Palace. But I think Brentford at home against a team that will press them can break them down and win the game.
Michael earlier this before the game started this weekend said, "Man, we're really good at predicting games," and then we went on like a 1-3 run across the board. These are the type of games where if you can get them right, that's when your record starts looking pretty nice. I got Brentford. I just think they're the better team right now. I really like Bournemouth. I'm hoping Tyler Adams plays soon. I want that jersey. Dylan, who you got?
Yeah, I've got Brentford. I think at home they should be able to take care of where Bournemouth is right now as a team and not where I think they'll be later on.
Yeah. Turf Moor's hosting Tottenham. Burnley, can they get their first points of the season? Michael, you're shaking your head. No, you got Tottenham.
Spurs. I think they're rolling.
We got Spurs across the board.
Yeah, I'm not going to overthink it like I did this week.
A game I think is going to be, honestly, every game we've talked about so far I think is going to be pretty close. This one is no different. Chelsea at home against Forest. Forest is scrappy, I think, for sure. And Chelsea, as we said, I don't think they're as good as what people are thinking. I do have Chelsea, however, just as a safe pick. Dylan, who you got?
I'm going to take Chelsea as well because I think this is when they get rolling to then get hit in the face with reality in 7 weeks.
Yeah.
Michael? So this game is post-transfer window.
Yep.
Yeah.
If Forest go up 2-0 against Chelsea at home like they did against United, do you think it's the same result?
No.
No.
I think Forest wins that game.
Fuck it. Give me Forest.
Oh, man. Big bet by a big man. City at home against Fulham. City across the board.
Yeah.
Yes? Yep. Another tough one. Brighton at home against Newcastle. I would have said this is the game of the week, but I think we have a bigger one later in the week that we have a inner pod bet about for 5 years. So I'm going to save it for that one. Dylan, who do you got in this?
Why'd you have to go with me first? I don't know. based off of a bet I'm going to be taking later, I'm going to take Newcastle. I'm taking Newcastle.
I am too. I this week actually kind of scared me a little bit about Brighton. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I think Newcastle's loss my reasoning would be Newcastle has had losses, and granted, the one on Sunday was bad. But their losses have been to teams that I value as being very good.
Yeah.
Where it goes back to what I said before is Brighton was beating up on teams that we think are going to be at the absolute bottom of the table. Plus, being in 13th, Newcastle, I think, needs the points more desperately right now.
For sure. West Ham's champions of Europe, people forget. Michael.
I got Brighton. I think they are probably going to look at this game against West Ham, be like, wow, we should have scored like 4 or 5 goals. We should have been better defensively. I think they're going to come out at home pumped up against Newcastle, and I think Newcastle's going to be a little bit demoralized.
Yeah, for sure. Again, real quick plug, if you guys are not tapping into the YouTube to see the video version of this, you just missed me have a massive Charlie horse in my my hamstring right there. That was terrible. Let's keep moving it. Dylan. What'd you pick? I picked Newcastle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dylan, big game for you guys. This is where the additional points need to come in. Crystal Palace hosting Wolves. Tell me your thoughts. Who do you got in this one?
According to Vegas, Crystal Palace is heavy favorites. Vegas is a bunch of suckers. I'm changing it right now. We're going to lose, but I'm taking a draw.
All right, love it. You're what, 31 points closer if that happens. Michael, who you got in this one?
34.
I got Palace.
You got 3. Your 38 is the number. Sorry, Michael.
38's the magic number.
Okay, we'll keep that in mind. All right, 34 points. Michael, you said you got Palace?
Yes, sir.
I do as well. Sorry, Dylan. Liverpool hosting Aston Villa. Another, I mean, the entire slate this week's pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Michael, what do you got in this one?
Again, I'm picking, you all pick Newcastle. I pick Liverpool because I can't not back them at home. Even with no Van Dijk, I think we will score more goals.
Yeah. I got Liverpool as well. Dylan?
You guys have better records than me. I wanted to take Villa, but I'm gonna take Liverpool. Because you guys are clearly better at the predictions. I get too crazy.
I did mention to Michael this weekend. I was like, Dylan's our betting guy and is always in dead last with these predictions. That's not a good
But my bets
us.
Are pretty good.
Yeah, it's crazy. All right, game of the week, without a doubt. Arsenal is hosting Man United. Not only is this a good matchup for this season, but it is a matchup for the 3 to 5 year bet that we have that Arsenal will have more points than Man United. Clearly, Dylan and I are still winning that one. Look, Arsenal, their question marks aren't as big as United's question marks in my book. This is at the Emirates. I got to go with Arsenal. I think they're a better team than United. And I think Arteta, for as much as he is acting a little goofy at the beginning of this year, he's a better coach than Ten Hag. Michael, who you got?
I think, to your point here, if Arsenal just play Odegaard, Declan Rice, Thomas Partey in the middle, play the four defenders, like actual defenders, and don't start Kai Havertz, I think this is a guaranteed win. I think both coaches could very easily fuck this up for their respective teams. I have Arsenal, though. I have more faith in Arteta than I do in Ten Hag.
Dylan, do I even need to ask since we're on one side of a bet together on this one?
Yeah. No. You know where my allegiances lie.
I just want to let it be known. I forfeited this bet like a year ago.
Michael aborted his version of the bet a long time. And I think Nick did too, but we just like to beat up on Nick, especially when he's not here. All right, so we all got Arsenal across the board as well. Dylan, we're still sitting 500 with the bets this season. Like you said before we started recording, we're just getting warmed up a little bit. I do have to ask a quick question. We came up with a new thing. Do we want to do a podlay first? A parlay for the pod? Or no?
Yeah, I love it. You guys started off, though.
That's fine. Michael, do you have your leg set up?
I did until I just saw the line.
Yeah.
It's a parlay. Like you're fine.
Yeah.
Do you want a minus 225 leg?
Yeah.
That's fine. That's
okay. Liverpool-Villa, both teams to score. That's a no-brainer.
Liverpool-Villa, both teams to score. I like that one. You said it's minus 225?
Yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's going to happen.
All right, so that's Michael's leg of the parlay. I'm going to add some value, and I'm going to probably be the riskiest portion of this parlay. I'm sorry. But I do like the Sheffield United-Everton draw, plus 225.
Wow.
I do.
Okay.
No one else does. But I
just don't know if I'd... I mean, that we don't even need a third pick.
Nah, I'm done.
Well, I guess this means I should go safe, right?
Maybe we could cash it out early.
No, this is the strategy of the podlay. We gotta, you know, we gotta, you know, maneuver here a little bit, maybe.
Okay. All right, I like it.
I guess I'll take one that we didn't. If the corner bets were out, I have such a surefire corner one. Can we... Corners don't come out. I don't have that line for another 2 days. Am I able to say a corner bet we're going to add, or do you want one that's actually, like, you can give odds on right now?
Let's say which one we'd go with, and they can add a fourth leg since Nick's not here, but then can you throw a safe bet in then?
Fine. West Ham minus 140 against Luton.
Okay. All right. We like the West Ham. That's actually pretty good value for a Luton Town game, West Ham minus 140. What's the corner bet you would have gone with?
Team total for Everton, whatever that is, take the over when that comes out.
Okay.
For corners.
All right. Like it. Team total, corners for Everton. All right. Podlay, the first ever podlay is set. We got both teams to score with Liverpool and Villa. Michael said no brainer. We got a Sheffield United Everton draw. Give you a nil-nil?
Oh, it's going to be. Yeah. Just fuck me.
Well, that's you fucked up this week with both teams to score with Everton and Wolves.
All right, hold on. Let me just say, I thought they had both given up a shit ton of goals. I was like, surely these defenses are just bad, but turns out, like, the teams are just bad in general. So I
can't wait until, like, we're mid-season and I have, like, a real good feel on these teams. And I throw a correct score 2-0 into this thing, and it's going to be electric.
Love it. We got, all right, like I said, both teams score, Liverpool Villa, -225. The Sheffield United Everton draw, +225. West Ham, money line versus Luton, -140. It ends up +704 at this moment, as we're recording on a Sunday. Take that. I think what we're going to start doing is let's do like a, my unit's $10 as it always has been. I'll throw 10 on there, and we're gonna check to see where we're at, you know, Boxing Day.
Full unit on a parlay is you're a madman.
Not when your unit's $5.
That's a good point. I can do the $10 as well. I'm assuming. All right. My actual bets then for this week is our championship bet of the week is Norwich to win -120 away at Rotherham. Rotherham? I don't know. I probably.
Rotherham?
Rotherham. There you go. Then, Michael, we were on the same page, but I stepped it up a little bit. Okay. Both teams to score, no draw in Liverpool, Aston Villa, -105. So 2-1 either way works for us.
3-2 works.
Well, the problem is because the over is 3.5, and like as much as I'd love to do that, you know it's going to be a 2-1, and I'm going to be pissed if that ends up happening.
For sure.
We're also going to do both teams to score, no draw, Brighton, Newcastle, +110. And then the final one is, I kind of went with a screw it. We're taking the draw +260 in the Wolves Palace game.
Love it. Love it, love it. So the podlay will continue. Dylan's bets will continue. But we're easing into it, like you said. We're getting our feet wet. We're understanding what teams are going to do what. And I do think for the first 4 weeks, the first 3 weeks for sure, but this fourth week, there's no clear and obvious choices on a lot of these games, to be honest mm-hmm. with you.
This week actually seems very hard.
This will be a fun week to watch. And then, of course, our final tables, we'll talk about them in the next podcast because it's after the transfer window and we'll have to be set in stone there. Dylan, great pod, guys. Dylan, get us out of here with a joke.
All right, boys. Why did the soccer player hold his boot to his ear? Because he enjoyed soul music. Cheers.
NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.